Welcome to the Practical Enneagram. My interview today, which just as a reminder is the last in this series of interviews, is with Enneagram author and trainer Ronan Gallagher, who has written a really clever and unique Enneagram book. It's called Stop Being Yourself. The book presents the nine types in nine life stories, running from the type's childhood through to their adult self. And it's narrated in two voices, the first person and the subconscious mind. I found these to be beautiful, intimate encounters with the types, really like getting inside of their heads. Ronan delivers corporate and organizational training in negotiation, emotional intelligence, personality types, and communication. Learn more about his work and his book at stopbeingyourself.ie. Enjoy this glimpse of the man behind the book. First question, how's the second book going?
Second book is going well. I was in Brazil for December and January, and I didn't make as much progress as I'd like to, but it's shaping up.
And what's it about?
It's a sequel to my first book, Res. It's a book about how emotional intelligence affects our ability to lead and to negotiate. So it'll have roughly the same format.
So it's probably obvious, but who's it written for?
I'd say it's probably a professional market.
What do you enjoy most about writing?
It was a complete new thing for me to write, because you're not in control when you're writing. You're sitting at your desk and you just have to let the subconscious mind take over and bring stuff up. I think if you try to control your writing, it strangles it. So that I think I've really enjoyed it. I've opened up, I suppose, a new part to myself, or maybe, you know, cast off the old foibles.
And anything you don't enjoy about writing?
What I don't like is the rounds and rounds and rounds and rounds of editing. It's relentless. And look, it gave me a total new respect for writers, because it's a hard road to go down. It's a lot of work and it's intense.
Do you think there'll be more books?
I think so, Raz. I don't think I'll ever stop writing now. Writing and being creative is the four finally raising its head above the parapet for me, because before it was three, driven, success.
And how do you see your type three, showing up in your process?
Easy to get frustrated, Raz, very easy. There's days when you're not feeling energetic. There's days when you might be a little bit stressed or have some sort of underlying concern in your mind. And I didn't find that particularly good for writing. So, you know, that leads to, why is this not happening, frustration? Yeah. But then you just have to leave it and just say, right, tomorrow I can sit and let my subconscious mind do its thing.
Your first book, Stop Being Yourself, is written in a very unique style. Can you describe that style in your own words?
I decided to divide it into two narrating voices, the characters, you know, and we all know about the narrative Enneagram, you know, so it's not a million miles from that whole ethos of you know, people talking about themselves. So the characters are effectively narrating their own life and all the choices they have made from their childhood right through to their adult self. The reason I divided it from conscious mind and subconscious mind, I wanted to do in an easy way to accept for people who necessarily might be doing this for the first time or reading this stuff for the first time, they're able to say, okay, so that's my self-image and my rational mind working, and that's the subconscious. So it shows the mechanics of that very easily. I think the breakdown is good.
The book is underpinned by certain psychological understandings, I would say. I'm curious, whose work or teachings were you principally influenced by?
Ooh, that's a good question. Like, Rez, I suppose I've been reading these types of books, you know, the self-help, spiritual, for years now. And you absorb a lot of stuff by osmosis. Wayne Dyer is another individual that I just love all of his work. You know, I cited a couple of his books in my bibliography. Helen Palmer was the single greatest influence from an Enneagram perspective.
And the chapters, are they based on real people?
So there's lots of me in it, Rez.
Cool.
There's lots of me in it, and there's lots of people from my life. And do you know, Rez, it has been a learning curve for me doing that, because I think I overstepped the mark a little bit in terms of, you know, the information that I use. Now I always had, what's the word, artistic license with all of the sort of facts and stuff on chain, you know. But looking back, I might have toned down some of the facts a little bit, because perhaps they're a little bit too close to the bone.
The people who it was based on, do they know?
Yeah, a lot of them do. A lot of people in my life actually said, did you base that on me? And I didn't. I thought that was an interesting dynamic as well.
That would so be me. So be like, was that me? Was that about me? No, it wasn't about you at all. Prior to your career as a corporate trainer and author, what were you doing?
I've been a lawyer since about 2005. I was a barrister initially, and then I moved in-house to work in financial services law about 2010.
Was there a moment that you knew that you would stop practicing law?
For me, going to all these retreats since I've been doing meditation and you know, various nature of retreats since about 2010-11. And I knew that I wasn't fulfilled enough in my career. I knew that there was more to life. I knew that I needed to expand and do something else. When the Enneagram came along, that was the catalyst. Very soon after that, I was like, okay, I need to change. So I left legal practice in around 2019. And I didn't plan anything, Res. You know, you realize that you have been filling some sort of void or hole with all of this action, with all of this work, with all of this constant mind turning towards the future of, you know, where am I going next? What's the next project? How successful can I be? I need to be more successful.
Sounds hard. That sounds hard. Is there anything you miss about practicing law?
I split my time now between legal consultancy and training. So I'm still doing, I'm not doing it full time. I do it 2 or 3 days per week. Look, I'm enjoying that. I'm working as part of a very good team. But my passion and my heart lies in speaking and training. Res, it's just what makes me feel good. It's something that I could see me doing to the day I die. And I would be very happy with that, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, completely different area. Do you still swim?
I do, Res. But for swimming, when I get in and do a vigorous swim, I could run through a wall. And that's, I know that's a very coarse way to put it. But I'm energized. I don't probably fear that much. But if I stay up too long without swimming, without, you know, doing that vigorous bit of exercise, definitely I feel the walls closing in a little bit.
Have you ever neglected your fitness?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. University, Res, I was, I have to say, I enjoyed myself a lot in university.
What are you grateful for about what comes naturally to you as a social three?
As a social three, and probably with some 8 traits as well, I go from thinking about something to action in, you know, 0.5 seconds. That's wonderful in some ways, Res. In other ways, it can have a very damaging effect on relationships because I don't process stuff enough. I don't reflect on it. And, you know, it's one of the things that I've learned with my wife. She's the opposite. She needs time to reflect on things. She needs her space. And, you know, whereas I want answers immediately, she's like, yeah, I'll come back to you. So it's a journey we went on with each other. And I think I've learned, Res, to be a little bit, you know, less impulsive, to think, right, I need to reflect on this. I need to, I need to just internalize it.
You were focusing maybe a little bit on the negative side of it in that response.
What I appreciate about those talents, Res, is that, you know, I can answer things relatively quickly. I can speak. I'm able to handle, in terms of speaking and training, it's very important to be able to deal with questions on the cuff. And, you know, that has never been a problem to me. I don't really need to prepare or think about those things. It comes naturally.
Do you have specific practices around the third instinct, which for you, I think is it sexual instinct, Ronan?
Yeah, it would be. If that is an element to me, which it probably is, you know, because we can't escape the basis, regardless of priority, it's not conscious to me yet, Res. I haven't got there yet.
What sort of a child were you?
I was the youngest child, Res. I would have been mischievous, definitely. I would have been demanding of attention. Yeah, I would have been argumentative, I would say. I had 2 older brothers. So, yeah, I'd say I would have been relatively hard to handle, Res, to be quite honest.
How would you say your type gelled with the culture that you were raised in?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Res. You know, I come from Northern Ireland, Res. There's, you know, political issues on the ground. You know, there was accusations of discrimination both ways in terms of Catholic, Protestant, whatever it might be. So one of the things, I suppose, that we would have been taught, you know, coming through a Catholic education education was the key to making sure you have a place at the top table in terms of jobs, in terms of government, in terms of, you know, civil rights or whatever. Now, that was never in my head. I wasn't brought up to be a political person. But in terms of encouragement, in terms of you know, you can do this, you're good enough for this, there was definitely that. I think that all went into my 3 programming.
Was there any way in which your 3-ness clashed with your culture environment?
No, Res. I would say that my threeness or being a type three, I always felt supported. I always felt admired. And that was probably unconsciously what I wanted.
What's one piece of advice you'd give to 25-year-old Ronan?
I wouldn't have listened anyway, so I wouldn't give him any advice.
Love it.
I was on a seriously strong conveyor belt to success. Mm. I don't mean objective success. I mean the confines of my mind, Rez. Loosely, what could I have said? You know, think about frustration and what it means in your life, because my life was always characterized by frustration when I wasn't being as successful as I wanted in terms of my expectations.
And what would you like to ask your future self?
Yeah, do you feel contentment? Do you feel genuine contentment? And there's definitely been a movement towards there is, but it's a long and winding road.
When would you say your spiritual journey began?
Like every other person, Rez, I started off with a yoga class in my local gym. You know, I enjoyed that feeling. It made me feel spacious and quiet and relaxed. Then I went, I'm going to try a retreat, you know, on the advice of other people. And that involved, of course, spiritual teachings from Buddhism, from Vedanta and stuff. So I would say that started what I was calling the spiritual trip. And I love the image of that, Rez, as well. It was like, yay, I'm on this spiritual journey, you know. The enemy turned it into this.
Define success from your current vantage point.
Success, really, if I get deep down into it and think about, you know, when you study these things or when you're thinking about where am I going with this, it's just being able to sit and relax and be contented.
Do you ever make yourself cringe? No, looks like you don't, Ronan.
No, look, to be honest, you know, Rez, performance anxiety is a big thing with threes. Mm. So if I look back or think back on something that I don't think is up to the standard, that I think my success image has been threatened, I would be cringed or embarrassed about that.
Right, I see.
You know, it's a thing that I need to work on, and I am working on that. It's like, you know, it is what it is. Your image is illusory. You know, don't get hung up on it.
How do you deal with that when you're in that grip of that?
One of the things, Rez, that I try to do is to genuinely ask myself, say I'm feeling some sort of stress, some sort of anxiety, what are you trying to tell me? And where is this coming from? Now, it depends on how heavily entrenched the emotions are and the resultant stress in your body, Rez. But that's one of the things I try to focus in the moment. Okay, I'm feeling severe discomfort here, stress of some sort caused by underlying emotions because of my type, because of the beliefs and behaviours that I have. So I try to catch myself in the act and say, right, what's happening here? Number one, what is this thing telling me? Where did it come from? Is there any reality to it? Or is it just a memory trace from when I was a kid and an underdeveloped kid, you know? So that's what I try to do. And it depends on how heavily entrenched emotionally I am in it, Rez, because four tends to kick in as well. And I amplify emotions and focus on them and zone in on them, you know. It's not an easy thing. But
what do you do when you want to psych yourself up, like get in the mood for something?
I'm going to give a very type three answer, and then I'm going to give you another answer. Prepare.
Prepare.
If I prepare enough for something, I'm relatively confident.
Yeah.
I suppose that's a type one as well, isn't it?
Mm. What is something that you waste money on?
Wine occasionally, Rez. So I don't know anything about wine, Rez, to be quite honest.
No.
Spend money on wine and regret it because I don't have a clue what I'm buying.
And it turns out to be shit.
Exactly.
What is something you waste time on? I can't imagine you do waste a lot of time, but you must. Do you do it sometimes?
Yeah, like Rez, you think about where I go to when I'm feeling uncertain or stressed, and it's 9. I need to watch myself zoning out to Netflix to whatever. So I can zone out. Now, of course, I beat myself up about that. You know, like I'm not doing, you know, what are you doing this? So, if you want to call that wasting time, I'm good at that.
What's valuable to you? That's a massive question, I know.
In my sort of, I'm 41 now, in my 40s, I'm realizing the proper value of family. Mm. You know, family are, generally speaking, can be difficult because there's so many similarities and but they're so valuable, you know. Talk about feeling balanced and grounded. I think regardless of what our relationship with family is like, we all need it for that sense of being grounded.
I really relate to that. That's really changed a lot for me as I've got older. Mm-hmm. What's a question you're currently holding?
and this is not an explicit question, but my type two tendencies. So three, totally clear, couldn't be any clearer. Four, probably people wouldn't realize I have so much four in me, because, you know, threes are very good at, you know, creating their image. Two, I never thought I had two. I have support. I support people, res, enjoy support when I think it's a successful, their best successful version of themselves, but not necessarily the way to do it, just for the sake of it. Do I have more two than I think?
What's something that isn't in question?
Yeah, my direction in life. I know I'm going the right direction. I can just see so many changes in me. I can see things that I don't care about anymore that aren't important, that, you know, should never have been important to me. So I know I'm on the right track.
What would you say is your largest fear or concern currently?
I'm moving house at the moment. So, you know, I always describe it as that sort of underlying stress that you can never switch off from, you know.
What helps you to be yourself?
When I'm training, when I'm talking to companies, I'm no longer an image of something. I don't think, you know, talk about the three being this chameleon that changes into whatever people want. I don't think I do that anymore. I'm speaking from a place of heart. I don't know. It's like trusting the intuition that it has given me. I think they talk about the three going to six in that regard. And I can see that. I can see that I'm no longer trying to impress people in the room. I'm here talking about my real experience of emotions, my real experience of, you know, dissatisfaction, frustration, worthlessness, hurt, all of those things.
When do you feel the most yourself? A slightly different question.
It's a good question. Like, I have to say, is when I come out of training and when I come out of thing, and I feel like I've connected with people in terms of, you know, putting this across, I feel very high, I have to say.
And the least, when do you feel the least yourself?
And again, this is a journey that went on when I'm numbing out, like a number three does when I'm, you know, when things aren't going well, or you just feel low and disconnected and not, you know, no energy, and, you know, so that's a feeling of just being out of sorts, you know. And it's not helped by sitting and staring at, you know, Netflix on a Saturday for 6 hours, you know.
What do you do when you're feeling sad, Ronan?
I actually talk about it, Rez, now. You know, before I would have been felt some emotion and blamed someone else. You know, that was always my you know, sort of the way I did things. You know, I never internalized things, Rez. Now it's, okay, what am I feeling here? You know, I'm feeling sad or feeling frustrated or whatever it is. But yeah, sadness being in like type four, Rez, is part of my life. And I you know, have to accept and learn to internalize and process it.
What are your thoughts on therapy?
On therapy, yeah. I know I'm a big advocate of therapy, Rez. I've done lots of hypnotherapy. My wife is a hypnotherapist.
Ah, interesting. I saw these hypnotherapy recordings on your website. What is one thing you believe to be true about self-development?
That it never ends and that it's difficult. You know,
very true. What makes you feel confident?
That I'm on the right track, Rez. You know, it's a scary feeling to, you know, to be not know where you're going, for me, or to think that your life isn't, I suppose, successful as well. You know, that underlying type three in me. But definitely to know that I'm on the right track is a great thing for allaying anxiety, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. What makes you lose confidence? Would it be the opposite of that, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. As when I break my routine, for example, so I'm not meditating, or, you know, that would lead to frustration and think, right, what am I doing here? You know, I'm wasting time. So being out of routine. And when you go through hard times in life, Rez, which are unavoidable, you know, you're constantly get reality checks on your personal development journey.
Which types tend to populate your work and life, would you say?
I love nines.
Fours, obviously. You love nines.
I know I'm not alone saying that, but working with nines, really good for me. Of course, nines can lead to, you know, they don't deal with conflict, Rez, as you know. So I'd be very much, you know, alive to emotions and conflict and interdynamics, probably because of the four in me. I know three is emotionally intelligent as well. So I can get frustrated with nine as well when things aren't dealt with. But generally speaking, I love being around nines. Sevens are great fun, you know, dynamic and fun and very able. Fours have an allure for me as well, Rez, just because they're all about authenticity, you know. So that really appeals to me.
Any types that don't tend to enter your life or that you don't have much to deal with?
I wouldn't say I avoid types as such, but definitely ones trigger my oneness. So, so a heavy set one can definitely trigger whatever one personality traits I have, because I definitely have them. You know, I know the feeling of feeling resentment for people when they don't live up to my standards. I know the feeling of being judgmental without even thinking about things. And I also know the feeling of having a severe inner critic, res. You know, I think the more we go on this journey, the more you realize, you know, what a complex tapestry it actually is. But yeah, ones at times I can be triggered by. Eights as well, actually. And again, it's coming to my eight. At times I love being on the, you know, under the guidance of an eight. You know, an eights are, when they are in their full flow, they're incredible people. But when an eight is over controlling, or when they're, you know, when they're doing that type of thing, I find that difficult to handle.
Yep, me too. Describe your relationship with social media.
And I probably shouldn't be saying this, love, hate. I get the merits of it. But for me, Rez, it's a difficult journey because I'm doing all this work to get away from my image.
Yeah.
And then I have to put all this work in to market, to promote my image.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me not to fall in love with my image again. It's hard for me to be totally authentic. So there's this constant battle, Rez, that I have to try and deal with.
Yeah, that's super hard. What no longer makes you feel reactive that used to make you feel reactive?
You know, when you feel like there's some sort of sense of injustice. I used to go 0-60 in people's faces conflict-wise. But now I'm kind of able to say, that doesn't matter. And, you know, of course, it's a combination of things, but my wife is very good at that. She's very good at saying, you know, don't bother about that. Why would you get involved? You know, so I have someone to help me catch myself in the act, and it's definitely fallen away quite a bit.
What still makes you feel reactive?
All of these things that I've spoke about still make me reactive. You know, you know how it is, Rez. Like it's they never go away. You know, it's like I heard it described one time as, hopefully, eventually you're going to have all of your beliefs and behaviors and emotional patterns that, you know, that trigger you like this. The best you can hope for is that it's like a gun with a not a real bullet going off, you know, so it no longer has that effect. So I think I'll always be conscious of those triggers, but there's a little bit of space there now, I would say, where I'm able to say, okay, there's no need to act out in that. I can internalize it, or I can just try and forget about it.
What helps you to slow down?
Yeah, I think Friday nights is, or, you know, any kind of sort of social activity is good for me. That
favorite style of yoga?
Definitely Hatha.
Interesting. I was expecting you to choose one of the aggressive ones, like Ashtanga.
No, Reza. I needed meditative quiet. Mm. Even yin, I find beautiful.
They're
really restorative. And but yeah, Hatha yoga is my thing. I still, that's I have a very good regular
practice. Prefer practicing in a studio or alone?
Definitely alone.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, I like the peace. Myself and my wife do yoga together, you know, so that's enough for me.
That's lovely. And what do you love about training people, Ronan? Maybe it will be difficult to answer this because there's a lot that you love about it.
The authenticity of my training now, where it's not about, you know, a corporate image. It's not about, it's real. The sort of the more authentic I get, I think the more it strikes people, because the Enneagram is such a powerful tool, Rez. And when you deliver it with a bit of heart to people and compassion for them, without, you know, telling them they're wrong, they need to change this, by giving them the choice, by saying, look, you know, it's for me, the Enneagram is about love. It's about acceptance. It's about, you know, a non-judgmental space. And that's what I try and make the training. It's look, folks, we all have these issues. If you're ready to work through them, great. If you're not, you know, don't, you know, take what you need from what I'm saying today. But yeah, that is definitely a big thing for me. The other element is the three thing. So as you know, threes are very adaptable in the moment. So they can judge a room very quickly and say they need that, he needs that, whatever. Probably also a little bit of the two in me as well, you know, if I have a two wing. So getting a room on site, I love. I don't know. It's, you know, look, that's, I know that's egotistical to say that, Riz, but it's just the challenge of it and the dynamic nature of it. It just makes me feel very alive, you know, apart from the fact that I'm delivering something authentic and real.
But love the honesty of that. Anything you don't love about training people?
Not at the moment, Riz. You know, at times when you go to a company and they give you a brief of what their issue is. You know, so it could be managing change, it could be uncertainty, it could be managing teams, it could be negotiation, it could be any matter of types of things. So there are certain topics that I'm really interested in. Yeah. There's certain topics that I'm less interested in. So other things, at times I can be totally inspired to deliver a session. Other times I'm like, okay, how do I make this, you know, interesting? How do I make this real? But one thing I'll say is, it's always Enneagram. There's always the emotional intelligence element in every one of the talks. It's just, it's amazing how it adopts to nearly every element of emotional intelligence, every interpersonal thing, you know, any personal effectiveness issue. The Enneagram is the tool that I use.
And we're at the last question. How has this been for you?
Yeah, it's been very good. Thank you.
This interrogation.